Lacourtier.
KFNC.
On Bellevue, Houston. A Gao Media Station.
ESPN.
97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, here we go. Second hour of the show. It is Barry, Nick, and Joel on The Usual Suspects Monday after the draft. After round two, game one for your Rockets, a big one tonight at the Juice Box, which I hate as a name. I don't know why I even said that. Minute Maid Park is the Astros taking on a Yankees team that's won 9 in a row. So we've got to get to that at some point, too. But plenty on the agenda. And, of course, your calls, texts, and tweets as well. What do you got going over there?
I was just looking at the text. Most of it is just this people trying to be funny.
No.
What? And they weren't. The only good text to read so far was, what's your overall impression of Green Bay's draft?
And as you would say, no one cares. I was ecstatic.
That's true. Okay.
They finally addressed, and again, with value slipping because of quarterbacks, yep. They got two of the top four corners in the draft. So yep. To me, that's a win, and everything after that is not anybody cares about.
Word. Hey, we have the, before we get off the draft, because I do want to talk Rockets, because I have some, I enjoyed the game, but I also was a little concerned about some things in that game against the Jazz. But do we want to do the David Akers? Because I think that's, we've got to do that now. It is so funny.
If you're a Cowboy fan, earmuffs.
Yeah. If you're a Cowboys fan, you're going to hate this. But David Akers got to make a selection for the Philadelphia Eagles in the draft. And he didn't just go out and make a selection. He went out and made it a show.
And a statement.
And it sounded something like this.
Here we go right now. We got a kicker with a pick.
The Indianapolis Colts have traded their 49th pick to the Philadelphia Eagles. To announce the Philadelphia Eagles selection, please welcome from the University of Louisville, kicker David Akers.
What's up, Dad?
Kicker's trolling the Cowboys.
Last year. I like standing up here before you as an undrafted free agent, representing that shield for 15 years. Tonight, I'm representing the Philadelphia Eagles, NFC East champs, divisional champs, NFC champs, and world champs.
Sad.
Tonight, we're welcome into the Eagles.
Look at Doug Peterson.
With the 49th pick in the 2018 draft, the NFL would like to represent the Philadelphia Eagles, Dallas Goedert.
Oh!
He is the tight end from South Dakota State. Go Birds!
So not only does he do all that, but the Eagles move after, on the day, I think it was the day of Jason Witten's retirement.
Yep.
Eagles move ahead of the Cowboys and take a tight end.
Named Dallas.
This guy is going to be the best tight end to ever play the game. It kind of has to be, right?
Well, I mean, and the thing was, was the best of it, but they were taking it left and right. Everybody going up to the podium was taking shots from every team about the Patriots guys were talking, and the Niners guys were talking about how many rings they'd won. Michael Vick said, "Hey, Dallas, by the way, I never lost to you." But Akers was the best. He kind of sounded like Perry Farrell from Jane's Addiction at a concert, where it's almost like a Southwest Airlines commercial, "Want to get away?" Because he just hammered and wouldn't stop.
Somebody said he sounds like that guy from I Love You, Man, the gym guy. There's somebody that he reminded me of, and I'm going to have to find him, but his voice sounded like an angry 14-year-old boy.
It was very high-pitched. That's what I'm saying. Like, Perry Farrell, I mean, had that kind of high-pitched when he was on stage and he was talking. Yeah. And
it just sounded like, he's like, "You guys wait till I go through puberty. he roasted the Cowboys, and that was awesome. And I don't know, we're going to get audio because I had a buddy that's a comedian out of the Valley who did the same thing. Like you were saying, he was, everybody was just roasting the Cowboys, and that's what made it so fun. Is that they're all booing and everybody's just going up there, pow, 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 just taking shots left and right.
The Niners was Merton Hanks, and he was talking about the five rings, right? And so most of the guys were kind of like younger, hip and now guys and ex-players taking shots from that era, right? That did a lot more crap talking. Jerry Kramer, the Hall of Fame guard for the Packers, who's like 70-something or more, comes out there and is like, hey, Dallas, remember the Ice Bowl? I was there. It was great. I'm going, oh, my God, he's going back there?
You guys remember right before WW1 kicked off, we kicked your ass.
I had icicles on my nipples, but I had a win at the end of the day, damn it.
This was back when we couldn't afford a 100-yard field, and we all played zone 70 yards, and it was dirt, and we liked it. And it was in a cornfield. That's so funny, dude. The whole draft was just people taking shots at Cowboys fans, and I loved it. And then, again, of course, I mean, we talked about it. He had insurance, basically, Roger Goodell did, but he still got the hell boot out of him, rightfully so. It was awesome. It was a spectacle, and I actually kind of enjoyed it, what I got to watch.
We talked about it last week a little bit, but I really did, and I asked you with Charlie, which is obviously more difficult setting to try and get in-depth on it, but the fact of the matter is, based on the days of Berman and some of the guys that would just rant and rave and there wasn't an open discussion, I really enjoyed the entire panel. I liked everything that everybody brought to the table. I liked that Herb Street was challenging Mel Kiper because, you know, they had McShay kind of out and about more. But even then, in the later rounds, I even watched some of Saturday because of the fact that then you brought McShay back with Kiper so they could back and forth. And in the case of Reed, the pick of the Texans, like I said, they were able to compare notes, which I thought was fantastic as well. So I really enjoyed ESPN kind of upgrading the coverage. If you're going to spread this thing over 3 days, then make it entertaining for the viewer instead of just the overly over-the-top football fan trying to get all that stuff done.
Totally with you. And this is who I was thinking of. Thank you to whoever texted it and said he sounded like Charlie Day. That's exactly who I was thinking he sounded like. Google Charlie Day. That's exactly who David Akers sounds like. That was the image I had in my head as I'm listening to him do that again. And, of course, the text lines are going crazy. But, yeah. Do we have the one of the Chargers pick as well, Nick?
Yeah, we do.
Now, I don't know what he says at the end. My buddy out of the Valley, his name is Mario Salazar. He's a comedian, but when you talk about diehard fans, this dude loves the Chargers. And when Andy and I went down to the Valley on that last trip, we stayed with Mario. And he's got Chargers stuff all over his house. I'm like, bro, like, why, you're from the Valley. Why do you love the Chargers? He's like, well, I was in the military and this and that. And that ended up being my team. And Dan Fouts, I was like, that's just weird, dude. But okay. Did you would think, you know, a kid from the Valley would either be an Oilers fan or a Texans fan or a Cowboys fan or maybe the Saints or the Cardinals. And he's a Chargers fan and a huge Chargers fan. So this is what he did. I don't know how he pulled this off. I need to ask him. Maybe I can get him on the show if we want to. But he managed somehow to be able to make a pick for the Chargers, and it sounded something like this.
With the 251st pick in the 2018 NFL Draft, the always in my heart, San Diego Chargers select Justin Jackson, running back, Northwestern. And Cowboy fans, prende la vela, we'll see you in the Super Bowl. Pero Chargers, carnal! Yeah!
Wow.
I didn't know if he was, I don't know if, what that
I don't know what
Spanish
he said in Spanish.
Curse word was. So
you
I
know
just,
what, the, yeah, but the word was referencing.
Yeah. But he went off, and then now that went by, and on one of the broadcasts, he just kept doing that. He kept repeating that, and somebody goes, okay, all right, just like get him off. He's going off. I love the fact that he got to represent the Chargers, and he wouldn't even say Los Angeles Chargers. He was like, nope, always in my heart, San Diego Chargers. I thought that was great.
And I thought the other thing that was funny to bring it full circle was on ESPN's broadcast of it, Lewis Riddick slipped up, and he called them the San Diego Chargers. And then Wingo and everybody else went, oh, there you go. First contribution to the jar, because we all said if anybody's going to do it, every time you do it, it's like the kangaroo court in baseball. He's got to pay money. That was funny stuff.
Yeah,
man.
It was. Somebody said, I hope Akers started a new tradition in the draft where every host city gets roasted. Me too. I think that would be great. I think that's how it should be.
That's Mac Dawkins good.
Especially if there's a rivalry. Like, if it's in Green Bay, then, you know, Mike Ditka should go out and talk noise or whoever. I think that was great. We need more of that because it is kind of boring, especially when you get through after the first round.
Yeah.
It's a great way to spice it up.
Yeah, you know, like I said, instead of, I think all of this kind of stuff will add more viewership than the over-the-top football fan that just has to get their fix on draft day and really overanalyze what your team got. This makes it more compelling television for people to want to watch.
Somebody said, prende la vela, which means light the flame in Spanish. I don't know what that, I guess that's a Chargers thing. Who knows?
I think it's more like starting the fire of crap talk between the two teams.
I don't know,
maybe.
But it's so awesome. He was like, and he said his everybody's blowing him up to go do interviews. He's doing radio interviews all over the country now.
Cool. Well, it's good for him.
Yeah, that's funny.
I mean, it's just, that's what I said. Did he get selected?
Would either of you have the balls to do something like that where you get the opportunity to make the pick and then you go up there and just start roasting them and you don't even say Los Angeles, you call them San Diego?
I think I would.
Okay.
Yeah, especially if there was any kind of animosity or hate towards it.
You would?
I could kick it a gear.
So if you were in Chicago or Minnesota, you would go up.
Or Detroit.
Okay.
Because there's nothing that can happen to you. What's the worst that can happen to you?
Or if someone drafted Tad Brown. I could definitely do that. No doubt about it. And I could have
almost made me spit my coke out.
I figured it would.
That's funny.
All right. Speaking of basketball, we'll turn the page and talk a little Rockets next. Is the game two's not till Wednesday, but we have game one to get through and everything else going on in the playoffs right now, which is a lot of good, compelling television. So don't go anywhere. Well, we'll continue to roll on. It's Barry, Nick, and Joel. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, welcome back. Barry, Nick, and Joel, Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. FM as we continue to roll on almost to the midway point in the show, but still tons to talk about. And you guys are doing a great job in taking part in the show, whether by text, calls, and or Twitter, which is always fun in games, especially when we hit certain subjects that get a little sensitive for folks.
Yeah, Jefe said, prende la vela, or vela, a catchphrase started by a comedian from Dallas that's a Cowboys fan. He started it when Romo got injured, saying, light the candle. Like Catholics light candles and pray for Romo. It evolved into a Cowboys thing, which completely makes sense because who he's talking about is a comedian named Raymond Orta. Raymond Orta and Mario Salazar, the guy that did the Chargers thing, are best friends. They tour together. So that totally makes sense that he would do that kind of as a hat tip and a shout out to his boy at the same time on national TV. So that totally makes sense.
Seize the opportunity.
Yeah, man. Yeah. He was able to trash the Cowboys, show love to his team, plug his boy, and get some run out of it in 15 minutes of fame, all in one 30-second trip to the microphone.
That's what it's about.
Talk about maximizing your time and value.
I was just going to say, yeah, way to make the most of the opportunity.
He definitely covered it all.
And get it done very, very well. Efficient, to the point, got it out of the way. I liked it.
Yeah.
Covered a lot of ground. That was good stuff.
Yep, indeed.
All right, so let's get to game one of the Rockets.
Let's do it.
Nick, you were there. I watched.
Yes, sir.
As I'm sure you did, Barry, at some point. Were you back by then?
I was. Well, I didn't catch it until it was like 70-49.
Oh, so you didn't miss.
So I missed. No, I missed the beginning of the game and the ass whooping that took place there. I did catch the end of the game, and I'll let you guys comment on what happened before that. But when you walk into a game where the home team with the best record in the NBA is up 21. You think, well, this game is over.
Yeah.
And then it wasn't. Rudy Gobert woke up in the fourth quarter. And not only that, to me, the biggest, and I kind of teased it when we talked about wanting to come up, my big concern, their transition defense was garbage. It was trash.
The Rockets or the Jazz?
The Rockets. They weren't getting back. How many easy layups are you going to give one team to let them mount a comeback? I'm just sitting there watching this going, oh my God, is anybody gonna cover the man that's driving to the bucket? Is anyone going to turn around? There was one point when all of them were standing outside of their paint with their backs to the paint, as I don't remember, it's probably Wiggins, just goes for a layup. I was like, what is this team doing?
Mitchell?
Yeah, Mitchell. I was thinking Mitchell Wiggins. I don't understand what this team was doing there. I mean, they won, and that's great, and it was a good win for them, and they obviously controlled most of the game. You better be concerned about that. That was ugly.
There are some things, Nick, that I think everybody needs to be concerned about. I mean, for as good of a win as it was, and you got a ton out of Chris Paul and James Harden, which you didn't get consistently in the first series, so that those are all good things. But overall, when I look at this series, look, that's a Utah team that was so focused on eliminating OKC and had to turn around within 48 hours and be here in Houston. You're supposed to whack that team like that. So I'm with Barry in the fact that I did not expect them to cut it to 11, and then they took some really bad shots. Otherwise, they could have made it single digits and done some things. This is a team playing without Ricky Rubio, and regardless of how bad Ricky Rubio used to be shooting the ball in the past, Ricky Rubio had it going, as we know, against OKC enough that Westbrook and the Thunder were very focused on him, and he helps out so that they don't have to go too deep into their bench. But Jay Crowder is just like PJ Tucker.
Had a great game.
Yeah, and he played fantastic. He shoots it better than PJ Tucker. And when you look at Rudy Gobert, he is like Clint Capella. And that's, and then you go with a guy like Donovan Mitchell, who's the sky's the limit, the talent on that kid, to have him match up with a Chris Paul. Harden is your clear-cut advantage in this series, and he proved that in game one. But don't expect this is going to be a cakewalk. I saw so many people, I'm just like, really, people? Everybody is already saying this is a sweep. You're going to see a different Utah team come out on Wednesday night with rest, a time to do some film, some prep. There's enough talent on this Utah team that they're not going to go away that quietly, I don't think.
I'm not going to hate on the people that said it's going to be a sweep, because I said the series is going to be over in five games, so I don't know how much worse that really is. The Jazz, it's on record, they really did not do very well against the Rockets this regular season. Mm-hmm. And I think the other thing they need to point out is whether or not they want to make the decision as to whether, you know, whether or not they want to play Favors and Gobert on the floor at the same time, because that may be a disadvantage for them. So they might look at the tape, and I do believe they're going to be a different team. But the concerns that we are all talking about, they're all legit, but it's going to be more of a concern in the next round when the probability is that they're going to face the Golden State Warriors. So I still think they're going to definitively win this series. And yeah, you're right. You had Gobert, who pretty much took a half off. And Joel, you know, you always talk about taking halves off and how that can hurt you. I think the difference with the Rockets is the three-point shooting. And the fact that a team could take a half off and the Rockets have the advantage of multiple shooters, that could be huge going forward. But yeah, right when we went into halftime, I'm like, are they going to coast? Are they going to keep this momentum up? And, you know, they kind of let off the gas, and it is a concern. I just don't know if it's a concern in this particular series.
I think it's a great point. I think the biggest thing, if you're a Rockets fan, and if you're not going to admit to this, then you're probably a liar. But I would think that most people are watching this series and critiquing the Rockets based on how they're going to match up against the Warriors. Because everybody saw that wrecking ball that went through the Pelicans that was the hot team that was going to give the Warriors fits. All these things where we might not even see Golden State in the Western Conference Finals. All right. Back to reality now, kids. And the fact of the matter is, hopefully there's a collision course that everybody wants, and that is Golden State and Houston. But the problems, or the things that you perceive to be possible problems with the Rockets, are not as much for the Jazz. You're absolutely right. It's all about how it's going to affect a series with the Warriors.
It was the tale of two halves in this game. That second half, the Jazz outscored the Rockets 57-46. So if not for that third quarter, this is a completely different game. The third quarter, the Rockets outscore the Jazz 30-18. But other than that, this is you take that 11 points and shit and look at the fact that 34-21 was the score after the first quarter. The second quarter was the difference in this game. And if they don't have that I guess, collapse, or where they're just unable to put the ball in the basket, this is a completely different ball game. And I think you're right, Joel. It's closer than people would think it was going to be. They went 4-0 against the Jazz in the regular season. Mm-hmm. This is
a different story.
It is a completely different animal. I was glad though when I turned my TV on, I saw Luke Mbamute running around, so that was a good sign.
That was awesome, because Gerald Green didn't get to play. He didn't check in until like the last two minutes of the game
or a minute.
And he scores a three-pointer, I think, too.
He didn't even get the sweats off before the first shot was going on.
Yeah,
it's like, but the ball was in the air.
Yep.
I think it's kind of a good problem because now he has everybody available right now in the playoffs.
Yeah. Well, I wrote about it for Sports Map last night, and they posted it this morning. But the big thing is, as the stakes go up, the rotation numbers are going to go down.
Yeah.
And that means already you can see Gerald Green, he's not going to get a sniff. And if he is, it's not going to be for long minutes of time because you can't trust him when he's not on and he's still shooting. Nene, a guy that they really needed when he broke down last year, looks like unless something really changes, and like Barry, you said, unless they try, or Nick, as you said, if they try and go Favors and Gobert together on the front line, maybe Nene will get a couple more minutes, but he's going to only play about 5 to 9 minutes a game. And Joe Johnson, that experiment, officially over. Unless there's an injury.
Outside of Gordon, I mean, Luka Bamute played 21 points. Gordon played 31. But all of your starters, this was their minutes. Ariza, 33. Tucker, 35. Capella, 36. Paul, 32. And Harden, 37. Yep. And you had to put Harden in the game before you really wanted to.
Because he had to stop the run.
Because he had to stop the run. Because nobody was scoring. Chris Paul was turning the ball over like he had never handled it before. The other thing is, I don't know if you saw this, but did you see Luka Bamute's tweet?
No.
It was a picture of him shooting the ball, and the location of the post, it might have been on Instagram, but you know how you can add or tag a location? You know, it said Jazz Funeral.
Oh.
And so it was taken down an hour later, and Rachel Nichols was like, oh, I'm sure this isn't going to come up in the Jazz locker room. And then come to find out, it was Luka Bamute's social media manager.
I was talking to Craig Ackerman yesterday about the fact that the fans in Salt Lake City are so freaking close to you.
Yeah.
And they're not going to appreciate that.
No.
They're basically hovering over you, and they're so much closer than any other stadium.
Plus, we got to find the audio of that. Westbrook post game after they were eliminated, he just called them out. He just called out and said, the NBA needs to do something about the fans in general, but here, in Salt Lake City, in Utah, the things they say are vulgar.
Well, Luka Bamute didn't do himself any favors.
That's interesting. Yeah, so we'll see how that all plays out. But it's going to be fun to watch, hopefully a series that's going to be more competitive than Game 1. But Barry's right. I mean, look, you've got some things to tighten up if you're going to expect to do what everybody thinks you're going to do or they want you to do, and that's win the West, get to the championship, and win a title for Houston again. So we can talk about all of that. Again, check out my column on sportsmap.com if you do want to see my thoughts on shortening the rotation as D'Antoni goes forward with the depth he has. But your Rockets Game 2 is Wednesday. And we've got plenty more NBA games to talk about as well as other things. The Astros and Yankees tonight as well. So stay with us. Join us if you will. 713-780-3776. Call, text, tweet. We'll be back with more for the second half of the show. It is right here on ESPN 97.5. If you walk into my kitchen, you will see the white powder. I'll be by the
cooker, whipping it through harder. ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, here you go. Second half of the show. Barry, Nick, and Joel, ESPN 97.5, Usual Suspects. We started talking little Rockets.
Yeah, I want to talk Astros in a minute, but I have a question for you guys. I'm kind of pissed. I should probably ask Nick this more, but I want to ask you too. I got my bill for my car insurance because it's up for renewal. Mm-hmm. How much do you pay in insurance?
For two cars?
Yeah, two cars, full coverage. I'm guessing you have full coverage.
Yeah, I got to think it's about 600
each car?
No, for the two cars combined.
For every 6 months or
every 6 months. Okay.
So 1200 a year.
Yeah.
That's so cheap. So I was paying about 1600 a year for two cars full coverage. It's not terrible. What do you
I think he's about right. I think I only do it on one car now. I think it's a little more than 600. I think it's like 675 or 700 for me.
Okay. Cuz I got my renewal. Now, I think I told the story about I got into a fender bender in the mall parking lot.
Nope.
I don't recall that.
This was, I don't know, maybe 4 months ago, 5 months ago. I'm backing out of a spot, and this lady, she pulls in to try to get my spot, but she pulls across traffic. So, like, I'm not looking behind me from where traffic, you know, like, I'm at the end of the aisle. You know how the mall has, like, the lane that goes all the way around the yep. outside of the parking yep. lot? Mm-hmm. So I'm backing into that to pull forward, not knowing that she was sitting sideways in oncoming traffic waiting for my spot. And then I barely bump her. Like, I mean, the dent wasn't the size of an orange, and it wasn't that deep, right? So then they say it's my fault. I'm like, she shouldn't have been there. Like, she should have been in the left lane to turn left. So they say it's my fault, and my insurance covers it. And it was $575 in damage to her car.
For a little orange dent.
For the little dent. It was to her bumper. $575 was the total amount. My insurance went from $1,600 a year for two cars to over $2,400.
Damn. Just got to change. You just got to change.
That was like... Now, does that affect it if you change?
Well, so I asked my insurance guy. I was like, bro, like, this, you got to have to do better than this. This is ridiculous. And he was like, and that was, I guess I shouldn't start throwing names under the bus. Although
stop now?
I kind of should, yeah. Travelers.
There you go. Attaboy, you feel better now.
Yeah, I'm like, because I asked my insurance guy. I was like, yo, I know that I had the wreck. I get it. And it was a minor fender bender. But why is it going up? He said, auto industry is getting killed. And unfortunately, we as consumers are paying the price for the loss. With that said, even with though it was a small claim, $524, it still impacts your tiering with auto carriers.
What was she driving? Because it doesn't affect the fact that if she
an old ass Honda Accord.
Oh, come on.
Not even a brand new, like, this thing was probably late 90s, early 2000s.
Whatever happened to accident forgiveness? What was that commercial?
Yeah. I haven't had a wreck that's been my fault in probably 15 years. I have one that I could have just paid cash for that if I'd have known. It would have been cheaper.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But my problem was I didn't think it was my fault. But they were like, well, you were backing up, so no matter what, it's your fault. Well, what I should have known is if it was $524, I'd have just wrote the lady a damn check. I was like, man, I'm so pissed about this.
That's the thing, man, because it's insurance, the same thing.
I can't think of a bigger scam.
Oh, there's plenty. Weddings and funerals.
The devils.
No. Insurance companies. The devils. Oh, God.
Weddings, funerals, and insurance are all right there.
I kind of want to just say
I'm
mean
sorry,
things.
I'll say it.
What?
Insurance salesman?
Yes.
Devils.
I kind of want to tell
you. Oh, you are so right, man. Because when I met Lisa, and she'll probably not like, she's not listening, but at the same time.
It's not 3 years.
When I met Lisa, you know, I'm always all about, you know, managing my money and investments and insurance and doing all these things. And so I was like, you know, when we were getting ready to get married, I'm like, so do you have, like, you have your insurance and everything like that, but do you have any investments? And she's like, well, but I got this life insurance policy. I'm like, what? And she's like, yeah, my insurance guy told me I really needed it. I'm like, but you don't have any kids. You've never been married before. You know what? And it turns out that the guy that she got her car insurance and stuff from talked her into getting this life insurance policy where you just keep pumping money into it. And unless you die, it's not like an investment. You'll never see it again. And it was like getting into the thousands of dollars. And I'm like, either you can do this or I can do this, but we're marching in there, cutting this little cord of funding for this guy. Yeah. Because you didn't.
That sounds so shady.
I feel like
it was so shady. And then he called her names and called her stupid. And I was like, you better not tell me where this guy's located or I'll show him what stupid is.
I feel like you have two choices at the point. You either have to kill her to get the money back or go down there and stop. Just put a stop to it. But see, I don't blame, like, my guy, I don't blame him because he's not making the rates.
Right. That's like, not him.
He's just out looking for the best deal. And I don't necessarily think that he's a scumbag. I think it's the insurance companies themselves, like the Travelers of the world and whoever else.
Oh, Nationwide.
They should drink a cup of bleach. Expensive. They could just drink a cup of bleach and end it for
Nick's
me, and
right,
it wouldn't
though.
Hurt my feelings.
My whole thing is,
but I don't
is
blame
that,
like the agents necessarily.
No, but not in that case. But in the case of what Nick is talking about, for sure, there's plenty of agents out there that are just all about how it used to be used car salesmen that everybody used to give a bad rap to. There's plenty of insurance agents that are going to get out there, and they don't. If you're not really thinking about it or putting a lot of thought into it, and they find a way where they can just pocket you making some insurance policy you don't really need, oh, they're all over.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is, I don't get it because I'm almost certain that if you inquire with three or four other insurance agents, they're going to give you a significantly cheaper price.
Yeah.
Like I'm almost like 90. I really would love to hear your story next week or when you've actually called five different people.
So this guy just texted the show, and I don't know his name or her name, but he said, why don't you call me for insurance? I'm with the, I won't give them a plug yet because they haven't helped me yet. Mm. But if they do, I will. And we're usually the cheapest if you don't have a lot of claims and have decent credit. I can tell you right now, and I don't want to brag, credit score, 850. You know what the max is? 850. You're not going to get better credit.
That's fantastic. And you've proven your IT knowledge to be able to manipulate the system to show that.
No, my credit is literally perfect. So that's why I'm like, it was $524. Kiss my ass, Travelers. I'm just saying. If you work at Travelers, just drink bleach. I don't like, oh, God, I hate you so much.
And I
right
think
now.
That's only an excuse to a certain extent. Oh, I'm just putting numbers in a screen and then this is the price. Come on,
all right,
bro.
So, Chris, I'm going to call you. I'm going to call you. He said, I'm way cheaper than Travelers. So I will say this. My insurance guy said, well, look, you can go with Safeco. They're $2,000. So now it's only up $400. But there's this text, and this may happen to you guys, so be ready. But he said, hey, Barry, my insurance went up when I renewed last month. My insurance agent told me auto insurance went up this year because of Hurricane Harvey damage last year. I will say that I'm sure that the insurance companies took a bath, no pun intended, on all those cars that were underwater. So I do understand that in a way. But, bro, that's like almost $800 that my policy went up.
That's ridiculous.
I'd rather ride dirty. I don't give a damn.
Well, that's all right. My insurance company owes me because they forgot when we transferred and moved out to the burbs, they were supposed to transfer everything and forgot my flood insurance, which is why I was so freaked out during the hurricane.
They did.
Yeah, so.
Okay. No, sorry.
Go ahead.
I just said, Chris, send me your email and I'll shoot you an email. I'll let you shop for me. I ain't loyal.
And since, you know, you're calling people out and doing what you got to do, I'm going to too because I've done this before. Right, and I'm going to do it again.
Do it after the break. Do it after the break.
Oh, I've got
tease,
it.
Tease. Yep, tease. Fine. Yep. So you have your time. Yep. Okay.
Cool. I've got it on the radar, Nick, and there's a storm coming. And I'm sure there's plenty more where that came from. So
I can't wait.
Yeah, fasten your seatbelts and away we go. It's the Usual Suspects. Lawrence, we'll get to you too on insurance when we get back. Don't go anywhere. Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is the Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, here we go. One segment to go in hour number two. Then we have a full 60 minutes in hour number three before we turn it over to Fred, AJ, Jong, and the Blitz. It is the Usual Suspects. It's Barry, it's Nick, it's Joel. All right, here on ESPN 97.5.
So hungry.
I brought pizza and cake in, Nick.
I didn't know that. You didn't tell me.
How long has the cake been sitting in your pantry?
Bought it last night.
And the pizza?
Really?
Yep, but it's a cheat night, so I just have the one piece, and then I'm done. So Trey and others can feast on.
Look at you.
There's no way there's any of that food left in that.
No, I think there was some cake.
I'm pretty sure.
But Lance is back.
Especially if intern Trey is out there.
Yeah, Lance is back, and that's always dangerous, because that means
he's
second and
it?
Thirds of both, yes.
In
his socks.
Alejandro said this, bro, go online and get a quote from Progressive and then call to get a better rate. Promise you'll get a good rate. Don't go through an agent.
You'll get flow directly.
I don't want to go through all that, though. I mean.
There's a few online ones that you can put all your info in.
Did you get a chance to talk to Flo one-on-one?
She's so ugly,
yeah,
by the
way.
She
is. And there's some people out there just like everything else. There is a sector
like, she's
of
she's hot. No, hell no, she's
hot.
Not. No, yeah. She's not hot at all. No. Have you ever seen her without makeup, like on the TMZ or whatever?
I don't think I want to.
Oof. That will mess you up.
Rough, huh?
Yeah, it'll make you throw up your pizza and cake if you ate it. Do you want to do this call? Because I want to get to what you wanted to bitch about, too. Lawrence wants to talk insurance. Lawrence, what's up?
Hey, how y'all doing this evening? When you said the insurance company said they having a hard time, I just want y'all to think about something. Like, my dad had Progressive over 20-some years. My aunt had Progressive over 20-some years. I've been having the same company with them for 20-some years. Never had a wreck but one time. They got millions of people out here in the world who never had a wreck and died without ever making a claim. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So you know, that's it's just like, you know, they tell you anything, man. But my thing is, they got all these insurance companies. If it's not successful, why they got so many? And I got one more thing. I think I hate insurance salesmen more than I hate people who bandwagon go to study Warriors. My hang up from this.
I love it. That's true. That's a good point about the Warriors. But he does bring up a good point about insurance. Like, if you're losing so much money, why are there so many companies? If you're always taking, you know, a loss, why are there so many companies and people diving into it?
Now, I can't go off on my guy because he was very apologetic, and he's done a lot of good for us since we've moved. And switched to his company, his agency. So I'm not going to bang on him. But I will say this. There have been plenty of discussions that I've had with our insurance companies over the years where I just flat out said, all is good in the world, and Nationwide is one of them. All is good in the world, and they are one of the, like, spendier insurance companies, but they claim to be the best. And I caught them three or four times where I had always made my payments on time. They had never had an issue, never had any kind of wreck or damage to the house. But the minute I did, boy, they're ready to bail on you and jack your rates up and treat you like you are slime of the earth. And it's so annoying.
Well, this Chris dude said his company had reinsurance, which I don't know what the hell that is. But he says, so we didn't go up from Harvey. May have to give old Chris a call. Well, this is good.
At least he's giving you solid knowledge, right?
Yeah.
Good.
Although I think I'll lie, if I do feel a bit weird just like giving out personal information.
Yeah,
to people.
I'm sure Chris is a nice guy, but insurance salesman, they're still the devil.
Nick, be nice. This dude saves me money. He ain't a devil to me. Like, no again, offense, but Chris. He's not making the rates though. It's the insurance company. All he is an agent. It would be like if we had to do something on this show that people found annoying, but it was because of management. They were like, well, this is what we're going to do.
Somebody in insurance is a devil.
Yeah, well, don't blame
the agent.
It's
probably because after the fact. Like, when you have
it's
like
the
a
head of the
car,
companies.
Yeah.
It's the people, it's the accountants and everybody at these companies, not the agents. The agents are just that. I mean, the word agent means they're just the agent of the sale. They're not making the I mean, they're probably making a cut, but still, they're not making your rate. Because they would love to give you a low rate. That means you'd use them.
See, I would love to do some math. Because you guys said about $1,000 a year. What, there's like 5, 6 million in Houston. Let's assume at least half of them are insured. So let's say it's 5 million. That's 2.5 million people times what? $1,000 a year? That's a lot of money, man.
That's a whole lot of money.
That's a lot of money.
If there are, how many drivers are on the road in Houston do you estimate?
That's why I said, I think 2.5 million is fair, right? Because I think we're way above 4 or 5 million now.
Oh my God! It's almost like I said. Houston's about to surpass Chicago in terms of population as the third biggest city.
So
in America.
I think there's at least 2.5 million drivers that are insured. Is that fair, or is that too high?
I think it just depends. So it's a city. If you look at the rural areas, or not rural, but suburbs and everything else, 6 million, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you assume everybody's 16 or older. In that 6 million, I would probably say there's at least 3 million.
I'm going to go at least 3.
And then you got to remember, if you're 16 years old and you're a male, you're probably going to have higher insurance.
Yeah, you're going to pay more. But then but then there's also the 50-year-old dude that's never had a wreck that's probably paying $400 every 6 months or $800 a year. So it's going to average out. But I would say $1,200 would probably be a good average.
I'd agree with that.
So let's do the math here. 3 million times 1,200. That's a lot of zeros. What is that? That is, there's no way.
And then they invest a lot of that, right? On whatever.
$3.6 billion?
Get returned by interest makes and all sense. That other stuff. You know what I mean? Like
the industry.
Yeah.
It's just a lot of money, dude.
No doubt. But again, like you said, there's a reason why. And that there's a reason why there's so many agencies. You know, it's just like real estate in Houston. Because there's so many real estate agents that want to get involved because they know it's a slam dunk. And because people want to have houses in Houston because there's no state tax and the real estate is cheaper, there's a reason why, you know, entertainers and athletes have at least one house in Houston because they're, you know, they're getting a lot of bang for their buck.
Yeah.
So
it's true.
So I mean, look, there's a lot, and I stand by it. Weddings and funerals along with insurance. Oh, my God. You want to talk about a racket, man? I'm just saying.
So now I did pull this up. An estimated 500,000 cars were destroyed in Hurricane Harvey.
So you believe that? Do you believe that has something to do, at least in part, with?
I would think so, yeah. But $3.6 billion just in this city? Now, I know you have operating costs and all that stuff. Let's just say it's a billion. You still $2.6 billion before you have to cover any losses from cars.
It's like ridiculous money. It's like oil money. It's just in this one city.
That's just one city.
Yeah.
Do that nationwide. Man, that's ridiculous.
I'm telling you. All right, we got two in the books. We got one to go. 1 hour left of the big show. If you want to join us, 713-780-3776. Call, text, hit us on Twitter. Right now, I want to tell you about Greater Texan Health. Men, you know, you're out there and some of you are suffering from ED, and it's not a very comfortable subject to talk about. You've taken the pills and now you're not seeing the results. I mean, that is an issue, and it's an issue that you have to address with an expert. ED is an issue that many men deal with, and the people at Greater Texan Health can help you. Even if the pills aren't working anymore, they're going to meet with you in person at Greater Texan Health. They're going to put together a customized plan, and they're going to help you end your ED today. Right now, they're offering a free confidential exam and testing. All you got to do is call them. You set up an appointment, and they take care of the rest. Their state-of-the-art clinic is conveniently located on South Main, right over by Energy Stadium. So if you're coming from Pearland, you're coming from downtown, the Galleria, even in the outlying suburbs, you can get there quickly and you can get results. If their recommendations don't work, you receive a full refund. So let me recap that for you. It's a free consultation, a free exam and testing. And if their recommendations don't work, it's a full refund. So what do you have to lose? You can put an end to such an uncomfortable problem, and you can get the help of people that know exactly what they're doing. Call them today. Set up an appointment. Free exam and testing. 713-554-4915. 713-554-4915. Or you can check them out online at greatertexanhealth.com. greatertexanhealth.com. And they also do testosterone and low T testing. And unlike other people that have to send it out to get results and you have to wait days, if not weeks, they get your results in 30 minutes because they get the results right there on site. So check them out, greatertexanhealth.com. Once a Texan, always a Texan, Greater Texan Health. No, 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 no.